All right, well, good morning. My name's John. I'm not one of the pastors. Pastor Dove normally would have been here this morning, but he's up in Colorado. There's just different meetings that are going on up there, and he's getting to see friends and family up there, and he can get a good rest, which is always good if you've been doing something for a long time. I'm not a pastor, but I'm married. That's kind of nice. I have a few kids. That's also really nice. That's a miracle in and of itself. So if you're looking for evidence that God exists, that I am married, that I'm still married, that I have kids that are all alive, that's just a miracle. Just all in and of itself. Today, we are going to be talking about being a loser, and get ready for a dose of encouragement from that, and I'll pray and we'll begin. So God, I thank you that you have redeemed us. Man, God, I don't deserve anything that you have given me. There's nothing that I've done that has reached your level of perfection, God, and still you have chosen to love me and to call me a child. And man, God, I just pray that during the course of my life that I learn and understand more and more what that means, and that that impacts me and affects me and translates into actions and thoughts and how I live my life. Despite all of the mistakes and all the mess ups that I've made, God, you are still good and you are faithful and you are never, ever going away. So Father, just pray for this time, pray for this message and for these words. God, just pray that they are impactful, that they are used by you. Father, if for anything, that they affect my life more. Amen. Amen. So when I was in high school, I was transitioning from homeschool into public school. My brother was a senior. I was going to be a freshman, and he was in track and field. And I wanted to go into track and field too because I was fast. And I wanted to have a situation where I could kind of grow and mature in that speed and develop that skill. And so it was suggested to me that I should go into cross country because I had the speed, I didn't have endurance. And so to build up that endurance, you may not think that based on what you see now, I was fast, but I was fast. But to develop that endurance part of that skill, I should go into cross country. So I went into cross country, and for the remainder of the season, I was the worst on the team. Hands down, I was the worst on the team. And at least once I came in dead last in the overall race that we did. We ran 5Ks. The best one, the absolute best race that I did, there was about 400 students that were in the race, and I got 330th. And I just remember thinking, as I crossed the finish line and kind of threw up a little, because I always threw up a little at the end of a race, I remember looking back at those 70 people, and I thought, just go home. Like, I'm a freshman. I'm really, really bad at this sport. And I beat you. So just go home, look at yourself in the mirror, have some soul-searching questions. How did I get here? What am I doing with my life? Don't even finish the race. Just walk the rest of the way, because you don't need to be here. Because I don't need to be here. I finished the season, and I lettered. If you guys are familiar with the concept of participation award, you will know why I lettered. But then track started. And so finally, I didn't have to deal with that embarrassment anymore. And so track started, and very quickly I realized that I was also the worst on the team. And you might be confused by that, and I was too, because I was fast. And you know how every 5-year-old little boy thinks they're the fastest 5-year-old little boy in the world? Well, I thought that at 15. I was the fastest 5-year-old boy in the whole world. And maybe I was, but I definitely wasn't the fastest 15-year-old boy in all of the world. And so that was also fairly embarrassing, but I also lettered in track and field that year too, due to the same reasons I lettered before. But that, coupled with many other things in my life, led me to believe that there's this core nature of ultimately being a loser as an excuse for a bunch of different things. And there were successes in my life too. I worked at things and I'd succeed, but a lot of those were pretty nerdy. So that didn't really help my case any. You know, like, doing good at a programming competition. It doesn't really help all that much. Math Olympiad, that kind of thing, you know, just to make you feel a little bit better. But those excuses, not only just in normal life, but also in my spiritual life of having this relationship with God and then God asking you to do things and leading you towards things, but it's like, oh, but God, I'm a loser. I know you understand that, and maybe there's some part of what you've asked me isn't quite connecting, because you wouldn't have necessarily asked that of me if you knew my background and what I can accomplish. And so if you've struggled with that, like I have in my life, this might be encouraging for you. For some of you, maybe that's not something that you can relate with, but for me, this is something that was daily part of my life for a really long time. And it still is, but not nearly as much as it used to be. If you've been in that state, there's good news. Everybody is a loser. And so we're gonna talk about some of that, and we're going to talk about what that means and what can be done about that. But I'm going to break this up into, as far as this first part of everyone is a loser, I want to justify that a little bit. I want to break it up into two parts. One is God's standard of perfection. So God's standard is perfection, and we're just not perfect. And so from the get-go, based strictly on what the Bible has taught, we're not perfect. And God requires us to be perfect in order to have this relationship with Him. In Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned. In Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. And to add worse, no one is ever seeking God. No one really loves God. And it paints this picture of, we are so distant and separate from God that there isn't even any hope for us to, on our own merit, somehow to get to God. And so from the get-go, based on our normal human nature, we're just already lost and losers, and there's nothing that we can do about that. But another part of this is, even from, and I can't speak to anyone else's life and experience, but I sure can speak to mine, that based on how I'm defining loser, I will always be a loser from a humanistic, hedonistic, worldly point of view. And so the idea is, of what I've found in my life, that nobody cares about me at all, nearly as much as I would like them to. So the joke that I have with work is, if you took all of my RPG, which is respect, praise, and glory that I get from work, and you presented that in a bar graph. I'm a spreadsheet guy. So what I got from work would be about probably a quarter inch tall. That's all the respect, praise, and glory that I get from work. If you compare that to my boss's boss, it'd be about 4 feet. 4 feet. So, and I mean, it's justified. He has a lot of responsibility. He's a really smart guy. He works really, really hard. And so it's justified that he has hundreds of times more respect, praise, and glory than I get at work. But if you compare that to how much I think I should get, it's 4 miles. 4 miles high. It's hundreds of thousands of times what I get at work to what I think I should. And that's not a ding to my work at all. It's just, I mean, even if I was my boss's boss's boss, there is no way I would be able to come close to the amount of respect, praise, and glory that I feel like I deserve. And if you've experienced that same thing, you just go around wondering, when are people going to wake up and realize how awesome I am? If you've ever had that thought before. Because I don't get it. And I say that jokingly, but I also say that seriously, of like, you don't realize how big of a deal I am, and you're not giving me what I'm due. And so because this amount of RPG that I would love to have is not realistic, and even if it was, there would be a higher one, I'm a loser in that definition, because I would really like this. I would like to have this goal of getting it, and there's no way I'm ever going to get it, because there's two things that are going to happen. is as I pursue this, one is that I'm going to achieve that level, and I'm going to discover that it's not all that great. If any of you have ever been in a new situation with a new group, and you look around and you see, oh man, that person, I wish I could be like that person. Man, the RPG I would get would be through the roof. It would be awesome. I'd do a great job. And if you've ever had the opportunity to be in that position, you discover, oh, so people critique you, they judge you, they ignore you. This list goes on, and it's not just pure praise. You would love it to be just pure praise, respect, and glory, but it never is. And so either you're going to get and achieve that goal, and it's not going to be as good and as rich and awesome as you thought it was, or you're just never going to achieve that. And so because I've had this goal that I'm going to set out and do, and it's ultimately not going to do what I hoped it would do, from that point, I'm saying that I'm a loser. So from a spiritual point of view and from a worldly point of view, I'm just going to be a loser. In Proverbs, it says that the human eyes are never satisfied. So you can gorge yourself on whatever you want in this planet, and it's never going to be lasting. It works for a little bit, but it's just not going to work forever. In Ecclesiastes, man, it's an encouraging, discouraging book, if you've ever read Ecclesiastes, because it basically goes through that everything is meaningless. In Ecclesiastes 2:16, it says, all will be forgotten. And the context of that is that if you are a great, wise, brilliant person, and you have accomplished all this stuff in your life, you will be forgotten at some point. If you are a fool, you will be forgotten at some point. So if you are wise or you are a fool, you will be forgotten. And that you've worked and worked and worked and worked, and then that riches and that kingdom that you've developed, when you die, will just be gone to someone who didn't earn that. And what's the point? And so several times in Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, it's just meaningless. It's chasing after the wind. What's the point? You guys convinced? Do you think you're losers yet? There's actually good news. So, seeking God sets us free from being a loser. This is better than just being like classified as a winner. Seeking God, as what I have found and what I have learned from people who have sought God longer and harder than I have, you don't care about being a loser or a winner anymore because you have Jesus, because you have God, and it sets you free from even that label. So there's three different freedoms that I briefly want to talk about. I don't actually have a lot today. I want to talk about those, and then we'll be over. But the first one is freedom from fear. If you opened up my heart, and by heart I mean kind of the thing that drives me, the thing that has my emotions, the thing that when you say it captures my heart, that's the kind of heart I'm talking about. Where it's that thing that motivates you and the thing that needs to be guarded. And if you opened it up and written on it were some of the fundamental principles that my heart lives by, in that those rules that as things happen to me dictate how I will respond, I would say that one of those major pieces that was written on my heart was I'm afraid. And as I've gone through life, everything has been evaluated to the point where if something comes in that I am questioning whether or not to do, there's this underlying fear that this thing that I am asked to do is going to cost me more than I can afford. So if God leads me into doing something, is this going to cost me time? Is this going to cost me my limited amount of tension and patience? Is this going to cost me money? Is this going to cost me my self-dignity? Is this just going to be embarrassing for me? And all of those are evaluated, and it's seated on this principle that I am afraid to lose this small little amount of resources that I have. That if I had a lot more resources, I wouldn't care as much. But because they are so limited and small, Every time something comes in, I'm scared to even approach thinking about doing that because of that reason. And it's because of what I've noticed in my own life. My full-time job is taking care of myself. That I have to take care of my level of worth and my image and my overall thriving in life. There's that principle that's surviving and thriving. That my full-time job is surviving and thriving. And as long as that is my full-time job, all this other stuff that comes in to my life that could take away from that, I am very fearful of and I want to avoid. But one of the things that God does as He comes into our life and He changes us, He says, your image, your identity, your worth is something that I am giving you, that I am providing you, that I am taking care of. And it melts away that fear. And it frees us from having to take care of us ourselves. It says, for the Spirit God gave does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. There's that section in Luke 12 that talks about consider the lilies. And the whole idea behind that passage is that there's flowers that are beautiful, that God takes care of, but they're just tossed a little bit because ultimately they're not all that valuable. But God still takes care of them. He has that level of detail. And there's birds that are beautiful and lovely, but maybe the next day they just die. And it goes on to say that you are worth far more than any flower and you are worth far more than any bird. And the idea is that we have this incredible amount of value that God provides us that takes the weight off of our shoulders of having to constantly take care of ourselves so that we don't have to be on guard. We don't have to worry about what is this going to make me look like in front of other people. And God has given us this incredible, awesome, solid worth that as time goes on and we grow closer and closer to Him, that builds more and more because we understand this incredible gift that He has given us. Two, have freedom to actually live life. So Jesus is amazing. In the Bible, it indicates this guy who is fearless. And that the only thing that I can think of is that he had this unshakable worth that would never ever be affected by any kind of situation. So that when he was hit and abused and all the different things that happened in his life, it made no difference on his self-worth. And so he had complete perfect confidence because nothing was going to touch that. So that he could talk to women, he could talk to men, he could talk to dogs, he could talk to kids, he could get abused and beaten and hit and spit on, and he could turn over tables, and he could talk to whoever, and he could even get crucified, and nothing shook that. And the only time during his time here on earth that that got shook was when he was at the garden and a bit on the cross. Because he was dealing with all the sins of the world. And I think for the first time ever, in the existence of the universe, that was shook. Because every other time and every other time since then, that rock solid worth of knowing who he was and what he was doing and what he was worth was never ever shook. And man, that's beautiful. And the reason why I'm a Christian is not because of my parents or friends or anything else. It's because I read about Jesus and think, whoa, man, I would love to have that. That perfect, unshakable worth. That nothing could happen at all, and I'd be fine. Because so often in my life, that has been shook, and then I question everything. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. If we love and adore God, our steps are firm. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. That this pursuit of God brings all kinds of benefit. Freedom from fear, freedom to live life. When you don't have fear, squishing all the different options and opportunities that present themselves in life, there's a lot of things that can be done. There's this huge sea of opportunity that can be done in your life when you're not afraid to do any of them. And so from that, we get the freedom to obey. So as we grow in confidence and worth, we are free to obey. So that when God calls us to do something, when God asks us to do something, there isn't any hesitation, because we know that because God has provided our worth and has provided our purpose, that there's nothing on this planet that can shake that. And it's not like God has asked us to do, of my experience, of the things that God has asked me, it hasn't really been complicated stuff. It's mostly been, go talk to that person. Go give this thing away. Be generous. Go and do this act of service. Go and uproot your life and go move somewhere else. It hasn't been complicated. It hasn't been easy. It's very hard, because I keep holding on to this notion of, I don't have much. I have to be self-guarded. I have to protect. But that's the joy and the freedom that comes in Christ. Is that I think about, man, God's love changes everything. Amen. In view of God's mercy, in view of all of the wonderful things that God has given us, in view of His unshakable worth, in view of His forgiveness, in view of the title that He has given us, in view of His love, now, in light of all that, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. In other words, you don't have to worry about your life anymore. God has taken care of your life. And now you can go and be free to live life, love God, and obey what He has called us to do. Because it's ultimately just going to bring far more benefit than anything else. This world has disappointed me so many times. And I have longed for something else that could actually satisfy and fill that hole of value and of love that I so desperately need. And so that's it. Without God, we are losers. And with God, we gain everything, and we don't care that we were ever losers to begin with. With God, we gain the freedom to do what He has called us to do. Do things that actually bring us benefit. As far as practicality goes, in terms of what we're actually going to do to develop that, I mean, read the Bible and do what it says. That sounds simple, but God has provided this simple solution to a very complicated problem. We have a community here in churches all over the world. It's not a perfect community, but hopefully we are growing closer and closer towards that freedom that God had intended for us. So, let's pray. Father, I thank You that You have given us freedom. Father, I thank You that we don't have to live this life of being a loser anymore. God, it's not that You have made us a winner. It's that You have given us success. God, we didn't have to beat anybody. We didn't have to look down on anybody. God, You have just provided us You. And help us understand that Your grace is sufficient for all of our needs and for everything that You've called us for. Let us please just grow in this understanding of believing that and living in light of that. Amen.